Good evening, everyone. We're about to begin our regional stakeholder group meeting. This evening's session is slated to go for about an hour and a half. The main point of the evening session is to hear a status report on the three proposals. And the way we will organize this is that the co-leads from each work team will have about 10 minutes each to present their proposals, and then we'll take time for questions. It might go as long as 15 minutes for presentation, but shorter is a little better. And we will adjourn tonight at 8:30, so it's a brief meeting. We will, in just a second, begin with introductions as our I-team settles in. So, RSG members, please take your seats. Go ahead. So, quick introductions around the table and then into our presentations on proposals. Scott McCreary with the initiative.
Rebecca Tuden, initiative.
Eric Ponsley, MLP initiative.
Craig Swalgard, MLP initiative.
Kevin Fleming, State Parks.
Thanks.
Ann Spacey, Batakitos Lagoon Foundation.
Norris Tapp, sport fishing captain.
Wayne Griffin, Catalina Island Chamber of Commerce.
Sarah Sickich, Heal the Bay.
Phyllis Griffman, University of Southern California.
Roberta Cordero, Chumash.
Wendy Tochihara, Iserline International Consumptive User.
Phil Bagul, Commercial Lobster and Crab Trappers.
Benjamin Beatty, The Cultured Abalone, Abalone Farming.
Ciro Ferrigno, Persane, Commercial Take of Squid, Sardine, Mackerel, and Tunas.
Brent Shawley, Los Angeles Conservation Corps Sea Lab.
John Bellotti, Los Angeles Rod and Reel Club.
Kevin Ketchum, California Yacht Marina.
Chugi Spalvada, Recreational Fishing Representative.
Paul Leibowitz, Kayak Fishing Association in California.
Thanks. Scott Dunn, Non-Consumptive Recreational User, Kayak Guide, Naturalist.
Ken Kearsley, City of Malibu.
Bruce Steele, Fishing Vessel Halcyon.
Kate Hanley, San Diego Coast Keeper.
Mike Gauger, Seaport Sport Fishing.
Louis Wasik, Kumeyaay Land Service.
Terry Moss, Recreational Diver.
Steve Benavides, Recreational Diver.
Jonna Engel, Coastal Commission.
Vinod Shashidharan, San Diego State University.
Hello. Mick Cronman, City of Santa Barbara, Ports and Harbors.
Mike Huber, U.S. Department of Defense.
Bob Bertelli, California Sea Urchin Commission.
Greg Helms, Ocean Conservancy.
Steve.
Steve Wirtz, California Fish and Game.
And back to Robert Fletcher.
Bob Fletcher, Sport Fishing Association of California.
Jenny Marshall, Department of Defense.
Dave Rudy, Catalina Offshore Products.
Leah Protopapadakis, Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission.
Eric Kett, Captain, Recreational Diver and Spear Fisherman.
Josh Fisher, California Lobster and Trap Fishermen's Association.
Calla Allison, Orange County Marine Protected Area Council, City of Laguna Beach.
Ray Heimstra, Orange County Coast Keeper.
Mike McCoy, Tijuana Estuary.
Garth Murphy, Surf Research.
Cassidy Teufel, California Coastal Commission.
Jack Engel, UC Santa Barbara Marine Science Institute.
Eric McCray, CPFE.
Tommy Gomes, Ernie Goop Bait Company.
Lawrence Reinecke, Catalina Island.
Bob Osborne, Big Bump in the Road.
Joel.
Joel Greenberg, Recreational Fishing Alliance.
MJ Kennedy, Kayak Fishing Association of California.
Benjamin Pister, Cabrillo National Monument, National Park Service.
Buck Everingham, Everingham Brothers Bait Company and California Bait Supply.
Carl Mayhew, Pacific Ocean Works Incorporated.
Jen Feinberg Eckerly, National Resources Defense Council.
Mike McCorkle, Southern California Trawlers Association, Santa Barbara.
Marcela Gutierrez, Huaycos Costa Salvaje.
Thank you very much. Did we miss anyone? Kevin.
Susan Ashcraft, Department of Fish and Game.
Great. So we understand, Kelly, that we have a special presentation or fabulous announcement.
Fabulous announcement. Steve Benavides is going to be giving that fabulous announcement.
Steve Benavides.
Well, we're all so well paid for what we do here. And I know that some of us are not very happy with the way things are going, and some of us are pleased. And when all this is done, I think a long period of time will elapse before we finally realize that what we're doing is making history. And what I've created is a poster for the staff and for the participants of the RSG as kind of a reminder of this process. You may want to put it away for a while till all the pain goes away. And I understand from one person it would make a good dartboard. But what I'd like you to do, these pictures were both taken on Shiprock. It's interesting, the major picture that you've seen on almost every document is my picture that I won a California State Award with it. And when you do that, California gets the rights to steal your picture and use it wherever they want. And so I've looked at two of the pictures on the main thing are mine, and I've seen a lot of my stuff because I've entered a lot of state contests here. So the one I did for the staff is one that the state has not stolen from me yet, and it's a real original, and so the staff has a really good one, but the one I've done for the RSG is the main picture. That was a mating aggregation of spotfin croaker that I shot at a day when we had 125-foot visibility and 76-degree water, and it was just as an El Nino was coming in to devastate all the kelp, and we had the most amazing visibility and light at Shiprock I've ever seen. I've dove that spot 300 times at least. It's my favorite spot, and I hope you enjoy the poster, and I hope you look back on this process and remember it after the pain has passed and after the joy has passed, that we've really accomplished something that will never again happen in our lifetimes. Thanks.
Great job. Thank you, Steve. A tough act to follow, but I believe that our presenters are ready, and we're going to begin with group three. We're going to go in the sequence group three, group two, group one, and remember the charge now that we're into round three is to produce a complete round three proposal for the entire study region, and each of the groups has their own rationale and their own objectives, so I'm sure we'll hear about that as we get into the presentation. Becky.
I just wanted to add two things. One, just to note, these are not the actual final. These are draft final. There may be some changes that are made tomorrow, but hopefully these are pretty close. And the other point I wanted to note is that we did pass out to RSG members a comment form. You all should have a hard copy of that, and we encourage you to make comments on each proposal. We will collect them at the end of this meeting, Xerox them, and get them back to you as soon as we can so that you can use the comments from your fellow RSG members to inform your discussions tomorrow. tomorrow.
So just logistically, how it's going to work is we're going to invite the presenters from each of the proposals to come up and sit in the area where Greg is right now. And so actually, Evan and we actually will need these seats. So for work group three, I believe we have Garth and maybe Jack coming up here. And if someone different is going to be driving Marine Map, they should come up there as well. We'll have a mouse, and you'll be able to drive off of the main map. So Scott, if you're driving, oh, you have the mouse there? Perfect. You can drive from wherever you are.
And we have a couple of announcements that Ken Weissman needs to make, just ever so briefly.
Yes, good evening. On behalf of Chair Kathy Rehise-Boyd, who is in Canada tonight watching us on the internet, she is sorry she can't be here, but she's engaged, and she knows that we have Greg Shem, who is here tonight, and Bill Anderson will be here tomorrow. We've had two commissioners here from the Fish and Game Commission, both Don Benninghoven and Dan Richards. And is Don here now? There he is. We remember Don when he used to be part of our family. Well, yeah, Greg is asking why we let him in, but it's okay. Anyway, we're thrilled that we have such interest from our Blue Ribbon Task Force and from the Commission, and it's a credit to your good work, and I know everybody was able to view a lot of good things going on today. So thank you all for being here, and we'll continue to educate our commissioners and our Blue Ribbon Task Force on the good work you've done.
Thank you, Ken. Just one more piece of guidance for the presenters. You have 15 minutes to present your draft final proposals, and that will leave then 10 minutes for clarifying questions. So we're asking the RSG members who may not have understood a particular element of the proposal. This will give you a chance to gain clarification. I do want to emphasize for the members of the public who are here tonight and for folks who are watching on the webcam that the stakeholders have worked very hard. They're presenting their interim proposals right now. We're calling them draft final. Their final proposals are due tomorrow, but the different work groups have not presented to each other before, so this is very important information. We're expecting RSG members, we're inviting them to incorporate what they learn from each other tonight as well as what they learn tomorrow in the public comment period to make their final changes to their proposals, and then by the end of the day tomorrow, we will complete round three of proposal development.
All right, so I hope everyone's clear that we're almost at the finish line, but not quite. These are draft final proposal presentations, still to be finalized, and we're going to hear first from Work Group 3.
Hi there, I'm Greg Helms, Work Group 3's presenter number one, moving from north to south. Wanted to take just a second to orient you to Work Group 3's process. As you probably know, We were tasked by the Blue Ribbon Task Force to improve our starting point array, which was LAPIS 1, to improve its compliance with science advisory team guidelines, and to strive to achieve preferred SAT guidelines. So what you'll see, of course, will reflect that guidance, as well as a couple of other sort of guiding considerations that we developed among ourselves. Among those, to provide an array for consideration that meets the science in an excellent way, that does a very good job of complying with the array of oftentimes difficult guidance from the different agencies and bodies that we have. We took it upon ourselves to pursue an array that was realistic and that was driven by benefits, getting benefits from marine protected areas as soon as possible and in a pronounced way as possible. To create an array that would contribute ideas for consideration by the rest of the groups and thereby to make friends and influence people. To focus on quality habitats that are diverse and that have sort of the intact food web and adjacency of different habitats and ecological features so that performance would be maximized, but also so that you didn't have to do multiple MPAs to get the different pieces together. You didn't have to have huge MPAs to do it. And I think you'll see that reflected in the overall scope. And finally, tonight in presenting, we are indeed viewing our proposal as draft final. We want to hear feedback. We have more time to wrestle with the final the final disposition of this array. So we're taking that seriously. And we start, it's maybe worth scoping backwards a little bit, Evan or Scott, who's ever driving on this, but you're familiar with point conception as we start our array at the north end of the study region. You're familiar with point conception. We drew our shape largely from opal in its shoreline extent, certainly using the wedge and capturing habitat in this, what you all know is a remote and pristine nearshore habitat that defines the boundary of our study region. Don't need to go into too much information about that. We made our way south or east in our south-facing coast, really looking at some of the science feedback, attempting to not only really harness the power that the bioeconomic model showed in an extremely small reef called Naples Reef, that reef showed such power in creating benefits, in creating biomass, and doing so efficiently that it is really capable of anchoring a backbone SMR, and that's what you're seeing here. It runs from Naples over to Coal Oil Point. It also provides an alternative or an option for the Blue Ribbon Task Force and the rest of the stakeholder group to consider folks whose voices didn't get heard in what's largely been an effort to converge with the UCSB shape. But there are local users on limited incomes and other types of folks in Isla Vista, kelp harvesters and others that have a different set of impacts or much less impacts on this. And again, that Naples Reef, the pristine Gaviota coast, the clean water, the lack of really dense population that the other alternatives have here gives this area a very attractive power bioeconomically and really captures that low density, very high water quality area. So for your consideration, this is a backbone SMR anchored not on UCSB but on Elwood, Naples, and Coal Oil Point. Moving on, nothing much to touch on, but our next shape is a little bit of a departure. It's probably worth scoping backwards or panning out in extent, not inwards. Contrary to what you might have seen in published gray literature, this has nothing to do with Carpinteria Reef. This shape is called the Rincon SMR, and its utility and its attractiveness to us is based on the desire to reduce the spacing gaps that a lot of our arrays are showing, especially in those nearshore habitats, nearshore proxy, hard 0 to 30. A number of our arrays were showing major gaps there. As we made our way south from Santa Barbara County into the Point Doom area or various other sites there. This does it extremely well. A lot of you know the details about persistent kelp and maximum kelp and what's there, but to the extent that the BRTF and other stakeholders would like to significantly better the science achievement in spacing there, Rincon is an excellent alternative to do it. Moving south, we went with a very dense, an area of very dense adjacent habitats. This SMR SMCA cluster gets you what Garth and I call a minus one. In other words, in this cluster, you get every single habitat identified by the science advisory team as a key habitat all at once. You don't have to go anywhere else to pick up kelp or any other extraneous science guidelines. And the bioeconomic models show extremely robust performance here, a 1.2 deletion analysis. And it's very liable. It's very powerful in terms of producing benefits, doing so efficiently. And we can move on. We did take a little bit of an extra gap in getting there. You can get your kelp, as you know, a little sooner. But the complexity, the ecological diversity of that configuration was attractive to us. It's a preferred size as well. Moving south to PV, we drew a We drew a shape that follows the District 19A line that also has the benefit of splitting Rocky Point, an area of contention, largely between conservation and recreational fishing, with the exception of a couple of commercial fisheries that are allowed there. Really captures that dense conglomeration, assemblage of habitats from the deep rock, the canyon, the phenomenal nearshore and high visibility, high water quality areas on the west-facing side of the Palos Verdes Peninsula. It achieves, I believe it's a minus one as well. It gets all but one habitat. Its deletion analysis is an extremely robust 1.8. In other words, it's going to produce major rapid increases in biomass, of course, being the foundation of improvements in ecological conditions. 0.8? It's a 0.8 deletion analysis. I said 1.8. I want to make that correction. So that's the northern section of the study region. We are eager to hear your feedback, and I'll pass it along as we move southward to Garth.
The South Coast was really tough as far as getting into preferred in any one of the SAT science categories. And in Laguna, we were not going to get a preferred size, but we did because the object there is to protect the intertidal habitat mainly. We did manage to get a preferred length of coastline, which is about 7 miles, which is a mile over the minimum, which is 3 to 6. And we did it as efficiently as we could with a triangular shape. And that's the SMR in the center. At each end, we combined a whole basket full of existing SMCAs and a little SMR and existing activities of kelp restoration and just a whole lot of community sort of things that we didn't feel should be dropped, and we still wanted to protect the intertidal for invertebrates especially. And in those areas, we're allowing fishing of everything with fins, excepting sheephead, rockfish, sharks and rays, and the a ban on take of invertebrates, excepting for lobster and urchins. So basically, pretty much, there's a lot of fishing to be done in those blue areas and all around them. And, right. Okay, moving south. I just got a sign that we're running out of time. Moving south to through Camp Pendleton, where we couldn't put anything and never could, and landing in at Swami's. We again, here we had to divert from the plan we always had to get to pile as many of the habitats we were trying to replicate in one place as we could to make it efficient. And here we actually had to divert a little bit because you just couldn't get everything in one spot. And some things you kind of couldn't get at all. It was just too expensive to the fishing around there and to the entities, the cities, and everything else. So Swami's we minimized to get as far kelp as far north as we could and avoid as much of the state parks that run along the entire coast there as we could. And Swami's has the farthest north persistent kelp, and it also has a bonus of all of the other habitats but two, so it's actually a very robust MPA of a minimum size 9.68 square miles. Going south, we ended up in La Jolla, which is, we feel, should be the focus of this San Diego area. And in La Jolla, we put our one SMR in San Diego County on the southern part of La Jolla's reef system. And we did that because we felt that we should stay off the northern part because of the fishing that goes on there. And that's the primary reason for it. Also, the southern part of that particular MPA has the highest biodiversity in the La Jolla area. La Jolla is another point that sticks out. The deletion analysis, you'll notice the points score really well. 1.2 for Point Doom, 0.8 for Palos Verdes, and this was a 0.6. with a on the last round with an SMR about half that size. So that's 9.6 square miles. Also, I think goes from Wind and Sea south to just about to Crystal Pier, and it exactly cuts in half the rarest habitat in the area that we captured there, which is 30 to 100 meter reef, and basically does what we need to do and leaves exactly the same amount of fishing to the north of it. We took the La Jolla Cove existing SMCA and rectified its boundaries to DFG guidelines, and then we took the Scripps SMCA and expanded it to include that boot-shaped branch of La Jolla Canyon called Scripps Canyon and the underwater lease that Scripps had of that area, and coincide with the wishes of the manager of the existing SMCA south again. Okay, we're going to Catalina. We'd made a quick stop. Nothing, and we dropped everything in Point Loma because of the fishing on both sides, and then we put a tiny little SMCA at Cabrillo National Monument, and one at the border outside Tijuana River, a very small SMCA.
Okay, at Catalina, have. Better switch to this one. At Catalina, we have five proposed MPAs. We have two backbone SMRs, and our thought was it was very important to have a backbone of at least above minimum size SMR representing either side of Catalina. The Farnsworth SMR is a key one that more than any other SMR in the entire study region captures every habitat, including unique offshore pinnacles and hydrocoral, as well as eelgrass and many others. The only thing missing is really deep rock, and that's the reason for the SMCA there, the offshore one, solely to capture the rare deep rock habitat off Catalina, and that allows surface pelagic fishing and so forth. It's only to protect that. The two of those protect everything that could be. For the lee side of Catalina, as a compromise to not impacting activities unduly, the SMR was placed between Arrow Point and the West End, which has a lot of interesting and valuable habitats. Neither of those SMRs are preferred size. They're both above minimum, but not preferred. Two smaller SMRs, the one near the Wrigley Marine Science Center, does include bird rock. Otherwise, we just squared off the corners. And the Long Point one, the two of those are the only ones on Catalina that capture the really important, unique deep water elk kelp habitat. They also capture some additional eelgrass habitat. The Marine Lab one has lots of history of studies and so forth. The Long Point one is especially important for the major aggregation site for the black sea bass. On the other two islands at San Clemente Island, we chose the two that were offered by the Navy, and at San Nicolas Island, we chose the Area Alpha. We felt like this was really important. It's already prohibited for fishing in that area, and San Nicolas has so much kelp habitat and these broad offshore rocky habitats that we felt were important to recognize and to provide that layer of protection. At Beg Rock, we felt our most important thing was to capture the pinnacles associated with the small rock itself and then the deep water rock associated with it, which is the dark area, but we did not extend it to the offshore boundaries. We made it as a square that represents that, and that's the islands.
With respect to existing and estuaries, we took a very ruthless approach to including those estuaries that really did represent the estuarine habitats without kind of going overboard about it. If it wasn't broke, if there wasn't threats, if there wasn't, but there wasn't something we were trying to protect, we left it. With regard to existing, we were equally ruthless. For example, the existing invertebrate closure on Catalina Island, which was abutting the Two Harbors area, we dumped it. And there's many years of built-up invertebrates like lobster and urchins that were painful to give up, but we needed to be efficient and we needed to target MLPA and the sort of modern evolved policy to replace some of the antiquated reserves despite the benefits they were providing. So that should be mentioned. I don't have time to go into detail, but there you have it.
Thank you very much, Work Group 3. Let's open it up for questions from the other RSG members. So Scott, why don't you speak into the microphone so everyone can hear you?
This doesn't work. Well, it kind of works for me. Just wondering about, we just spent a lot of time on estuaries and talked to a lot of estuary managers and stuff, and there's reasons why we didn't. I just want to, add a little bit. Just for instance, up here in Goleta, we didn't add Devereux Slough, you can see here, and we did the same with the Carpinteria salt marsh. And the reason was is there was compelling evidence that these are really well managed and would only hurt them by designating them. They would get in the way of their management. And so that's why there's a lot of these missing, and you'll see them. There's several down the coast. So we just grabbed as many as we could in each of the bioregions that weren't being managed, to a high level, or that the managers wanted there to be some sort of designation. So we're willing to share all those, all our estuary stuff for you guys if you guys want to use it. And there's a lot of work there, and I'm not sure if everybody else had a chance to put that much work into it. And that's all I want to say.
Thank you for that clarification. So I see Mick, Paul, and Shuggy so far. So go ahead, Mick.
Thanks very much for the excellent presentation. It's crisp and clear and understandable. In Work Group 2, we struggled a lot with Catalina shapes and, of course, especially Farnsworth. Could you tell us what socioeconomic impacts you anticipate with this Farnsworth shape?
Well, there's no place on the backside that you can choose that isn't going to have socioeconomic impacts. That's just a fact of life. When you put up a lot of the overlays of the EcoTrust, they'll just cover the backside of the island. But it's also extremely important that there be an at least above minimum size reserve there, and that has a full protection, especially since it's not possible to represent a lot of these things at San Clemente Island because of the limited nature of the choices there. So many of the other areas at San Clemente, the only other island in the East Channel Islands bioregion, cannot be represented. So we realize that there are going to be impacts to squid fishing, to sport fishing, and a number of others, lobster trapping and so forth, and we were aware of those. But as part of that, we actually limited the southern extension of that and did not make it a preferred size MPA. So that the southern boundary of that does not actually go on a whole minute, because we did not want to extend it any more than absolutely necessary in order to bring that in and capture the largest eelgrass habitat on the Channel Islands. And it doesn't capture the whole eelgrass habitat. It only captures somewhere in the neighborhood of one quarter to maybe one third of that habitat. But that's the sole reason for that extension in there. But in order to get the rich variety of habitats, that was the only shape that we could come up with, and we kept it no larger than necessary. You'll see we did not capture the rocky reefs to the north of the boundary there. So there's additional reefs that probably have hydrocoral and fishing reefs and so forth. And we did purposely did not choose any other MPA on the backside of Catalina, with the exception of the small offshore one, which was specifically for the super deep rock, because we couldn't get it anywhere else. And we kept that offshore to avoid impacts to any of the other fishing activities off the east end near shore.
Probably also worth mentioning, you know, it wasn't our explicit guidance, but cross interest was certainly something that all of the groups were asked to pay attention to. And so since the OPAL group in round two converged around just about this shape, it's like a couple of other shapes, we drew from those seemingly popular ideas, with the anchor being the Farnsworth Bank, and why not be as compact as you can by extending from a shape that everyone's using. So it's part of the answer as well.
Thank you. Paul?
Thank you. I think the rush of time prevented you from explaining some of your SMCAs. In particular, I'm interested in the regulations at Doom, Swami's, and Scripps.
Skip. Yeah, oops. Swami's, at Swami's, where are we, at Doom? Okay, Doom, we'll do Doom then, sorry. At Doom, this is the fishing that we allowed. I can't really read it, but basically it's the fishing that left us with a high LOP. And we were conscious of some spear fishing that went on out there, some free diving, swordfish tournament, and put in whatever we thought would work with a high LOP type SMR. And also there was some, well, that's it. That's the regulations there. At Swami's, we're wrestling really with the state park and with what they like to do in the park. And so we allowed some, also going for a high LOP because, what'd you say? High LOP because we were trying to protect mainly kelp habitat, but we've got another 10 habitats that are involved in there that need protection. So we allowed pelagic finfish spear fishing was what our take allowance was there. And in La Jolla, we actually allowed recreational bait fishing for the kayakers that come out there and go down to Scripps Pier and get it in the Scripps SMCA and get bait at Scripps Pier. That was the point of that SMCA.
Thank you for the latter.
You're welcome.
So Chugi, then Terry, then Ciro.
Just real quick, does that San Elijo shape have the outfall within it?
Does have what in it?
The sewage outfall? Does it fall within that San Elijo shape?
No, it's just south of there. The actual the outfall is just south of that line. We just clipped the corner of it.
But it does encompass the... What did you guys take into consideration any of the park recommendations regarding shore fishing and that, and its importance for that state beach? And
we did. Park? We did. We went through that with a long conversation with Kevin and Craig about the parks, and in the end, it was our decision that the park regulations are outmoded and not really in sync with the MLPA, and that we had to override them. And they gave us permission to do that if we felt that way. And so we did, but we did stay off two parks. It's not a state park, it's a state beach, incidentally. And we stayed off two state beaches, one called Cardiff State Beach, which is actually the big parking lot at the south at the corner of Solana Beach, and at Moonlight State Beach at the north. So we came off of whole minutes south at the north boundary and north at the south boundary to leave those two parts of the park open to fishing completely. And within the park itself, we felt we had to stick to a LOP that was in line with the protection that we were looking for in there.
So, Terry, you had your card up, but you don't have... Okay, so let's take the last two questions from Ciro and then Jenny.
Just want a clarifying question on that SMCA at Point Doom. You noticed there were several uses in that area. I just noticed that you didn't include pelagic seine. Is that excluded for particular reason, or did you guys just overlook that?
That was excluded for its effect on the food web in that area, because we've got all those different habitats and the different species in there looking for food, and we felt that the forage should not be taken from that particular cluster.
Jenny?
When we were working with the SAT, we developed an Excel spreadsheet, which I'd be more than happy to share. I didn't bring it with me, whereby we listed all military activities in accordance with location and then assigned them a level of impact to the environment, A being an impact such as underwater detonations. Category B was active sonar, down to category D, which would be no impact of sorts. And in your La Jolla proposal, as you all probably are aware, you've overlapped the ARPA, which is Applied Research Projects Agency, which is a moored minefield. It's been out there for decades. It is the only minefield between here and Hawaii that's used by the submarine community for small object detection and avoidance activities. So very, very critical. Obviously, we use mid-frequency active sonar in that area, which, as we've seen with the SAT, they felt that a Category A and a Category B activity, which active sonar would be considered a Category B, was in fact incompatible with the goals of the Act. So on two levels, I don't know if this was a discussion point in your work group or not, but you have overlapped ARPA and you have overlapped activities that the SAT considered incompatible with the goals of the Act.
Thank you. Jenny, we considered carefully the military activities throughout the study region and the numerous constraints that all of the various guidances put on us, and did the kind of tap dance the rest of the stakeholders are doing. In keeping with the military guidance and hopes for this particular shape, we put very direct and specific language in our design rationale, our design, our boundary in the marine map fields that are appropriate. We specifically address the military needs and our intent with regard to those, which is that they continue. There are numerous constraints regarding, you know, sort of the South La Jolla area, including including a fishing pier, etc. And in order to follow the SAT guidance, where our group was specifically given the primary principle of meeting the science at a preferred level, we simply put habitat protection at the very highest. If the military has to take a pound of flesh, why then, you know, so be it. But this Scripps has identified this as the very most appropriate place for an SMR, and it's the SMR that it captures world-class La Jolla kelp at the lowest possible fishing impact at a minimum size, and we had to get that minimum size to qualify for the SAD, and we assigned the science guidance the very highest priority, and we did so as respectfully as we could with regard to the passive military training that's going on there.
Thank you, and thank you, Work Group 3, for your presentation, and to our RSG members for those questions. Please do provide any additional comments or suggestions you have for Work Group 3 in the spirit of ever continuous improvement, as these are not yet final. Now we're going to move on to Work Group 2, but let's give Work Group 3 a hand for all their work. Thank you guys for going first. We appreciate that. So could we ask Kevin and Merritt to come up and sit over in this corner to give their presentation?
And while work group two is coming up, just want to let you know that those feedback forms that you have in front of you, we're asking you to complete those by the end of the meeting today. We're going to collect them, photocopy them, and then distribute entire packets of them to each RSG member. So tomorrow you'll have a packet of all these comments in front of you, and we'll be able to review those as you begin your day and go through your final day of proposal development.
Joel, could we ask you to defer? Are you willing? Not necessary. You can if you wish. It's not required. Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to start off and thank, we'd all like to thank Group 2, the initiative team's efforts and help. We're very pleased. They did a phenomenal job for us. We couldn't have been as successful as we have been without their help. So right off the bat, I want to say thank you to all the support we got. Mindful that it's 8 o'clock and we've got homework still tonight, we're going to try to get through this a lot quicker. And we all know the geographies. I think we all know the hot spots here. How we approached this was we had our platform, which was External A, and then we were to move to SAT guidelines where we could with best efforts. One thing we recognized right away is we were no longer External A, that this was a Group 2's plan. So we moved away from that, and we tried to build from what we learned in rounds one and round two from the previous submittals from the different GEM groups, and we tried to build an array with SAT as a basis, obviously socioeconomic impacts, but also taking into consideration other user groups. Trying to put an array that by its the solution to accommodating those type of uses, we're trying to gain that cross-interest support that we heard about in October of last year was what we were all about. And I'm real excited with what we've come up with here. There's been a lot of vigorous debate. What we did in the northern section, and if you look at point conception, what we did is we really took from Lapis One platform. And what we did is, after a lot of angst and point conception, we adopted what Lapis One had for a configuration. And we took that Lapis One platform, and then we tied it to the Cole Point or Santa Barbara. If we scroll on down. And so we link that. Now, one of the things that in round two was a concern was that Dana Point was never captured in that those three components. So what we did is we then went to Point Doom, and we now have a SM. Can you move on down? So what we've... Nope. Well, we're brain dead, like everybody else here tonight. So we picked up an SMCA, high-level protection, to connect those three. And there's a lot of pain, a lot of suffering socioeconomically, but we thought we would reach out and learn from other GEM groups and come up with this array. Moving on down... Palos Verdes, which I'm sure is giving everybody heartburn. We're really here, we've got two pressures on us. We have what I've referred to as the 800-pound gorilla on the south side with water quality issues, LA County sanitation, we've got the siltation, we've got the plumes, we've got DDT, got all the things going on there. So 10 minutes are already up. Wow. So we push that. So that pressure is pushing us from the south. And from the north, the socioeconomics, as we all know, we'll hear testimony, but the socioeconomic impact of going up to Rocky Point to capture that 3,000-meter rock is just too devastating to the communities, to the fisheries, the commercial, the recreational, so we just couldn't get there. But what we came up with is a preferred size cluster. Obviously, the SMR is what it is, and the SMCA there is a high-level protection again there. We miss persistent kelp here. However, we do pick up maximum kelp. So let's move on down. We then come to La Jolla. We're all struggling with La Jolla. I'm sorry, Bob, I did it again. But you correct me. We heard the community's concerns about the protection of their tide pools and the impact that has on the community. So we've got consistency of tidal pool SMCAs on both sides. On the north, that configuration is tied to Parks configuration because Parks wanted to make sure there was consistencies in their leases there. So working with Parks on that one, we came up with an SMCA that protects tide pool invertebrates. And then the SMCA coming down, it follows the 1,000-foot, the Fish and Game's guidance on tide pools, knowing that they don't like them, but understanding the community and just the unique nature of the tide pools through this region, we've got that ribbon. We then came up with our SMR, which is going to north-south direction, trying to basically split the baby in half. It gives equal treatment to the commercial and recreational fisheries coming from the north from Newport. Again, respectful of what's going on in Dana Point to the north, and this gets us to a minimum of nine some square miles here. So that was our solution. Moving on down. You want to move? We have an SMR at Del Mar, and this does a lot of neat things for us. Again, in this SMR, mindful of the community of Del Mar and their concern about beast restoration, so we've made note of that type of use should be allowed here, and in the event that the Attorney General's office doesn't get resolved, then staff would make that adjustment to allow that use in this area. But it also ties to the estuary, and what is neat about that is the city of San Diego has their multiple species conservation program, and what this is that goes, it's 900 square miles of terrestrial conservation program they have in place. So what's neat about this is we're placing an MPA that ties that together with them. So this is a great conservation opportunity of combining terrestrial with the marine life protection. Moving on down, then we have clustered with this, then our Sunset Cliffs configuration. These two gets us the habitats that we need in this area. The Sunset Cliffs, we have a little unique triangulation for feasibility purpose. It's given Fish and Game a little bit of heartburn. However, what we're really doing there is we are preserving the public pier fishing. And so from an enforcement perspective, it's easy to enforce because you only fish from the pier. And then we preserve down at the bottom of Point Loma, we've preserved that SMR. We've cleaned it up a tad. Yep, let's go. What?
Zoom in to see that.
Oh, they want you to zoom in on Sunset Cliffs.
Come on, baby. Okay, here it is.
And that little pie shape is what I was referring to, and that is what's allowing pure fishing there. Sure.
So what, wow, what this is doing for us is it's making it so that the regulations across the entire cluster are actually the same. You can only fish from the pier. But in order to be able to show that we had enough area within the SMR to be able to acquire all the habitat replicates, we had to put this small, essentially semantic line in it.
Okay. We backed off from the earlier ideas of putting an MPA in South San Diego Bay, as we did Tijuana Estuary, because of all of the various federal agencies, cities' concerns, port districts' concerns. So deference to them, we backed off of that. Then moving up to Catalina. In Catalina, when we look at Catalina, we also look at San Clemente and SWAT 1. And what happened is when SWAT 1 came off the table, the socioeconomic impact to the fisheries is tremendous, overwhelming. But we know that there's habitats there that because of the digital formatting, we're not capturing for SAT evaluation purposes, but based on knowledge within the SRG, we know that those habitats exist there. So what we did on the backside of Catalina, more for intrinsic value, and this was not easily accepted in the group, but so you may want to talk more about SWAT 1 if you want.
We're going back to Catalina here.
Yeah, we're getting to Catalina. There we go. So on Catalina, on the backside, we have an SMR which is capturing Farnsworth. It does not meet minimum or preferred size, but for intrinsic purposes, we have an SMR that captures that habitat, and we that is the configuration we came up with on the backside, but which really tied with SWAT 1.
Talk more about SWAT 1?
Yeah.
We all know what it looks like. There it is. Okay. Oh my goodness. You'll all get your turn with this thing, I think. All right. One of the issues with SWAT 1 is that we are lacking a considerable amount of data coverage out there. And older data layers do show that there are quite a variety of habitats out here, including deep rock and 30 to 100 meter rock. Some of these habitats are also available at Catalina expressly. And we know that some of you will grab those habitat replicates there, but we actually in group two feel that we've got them already under essentially full protection here, and as our charge is to try to meet the goals of the act and the science guidelines without putting anybody completely out of business, staying within what people can live with. This is where we chose to be able to pick up those replicates, and we're taking the challenge of being able to support that those habitats actually do exist in this area. You'll also find a similar thing happens down in the Del Mar area, and that there is a data gap where the gap exists right in the middle of a field of hard bottom, and we need just the smallest little bit beyond what is shown within that shape to get that 30 to 100 meter hard rocky bottom replicate. And we do believe it exists there. If it exists the same as it exists, just at its edges, it's there. Just at the edges of that gap. We got 1 minute.
Well, and just on Catalina, what we did on the front side there, two harbors. Well, We, like everyone, I'm sure, we captured Big Rock, and then we have a combination SMR-MCA on two harbors. That's it.
Good. Thank you. Excellent job. Thank you very much. Mick apparently has a question about his own proposal. Go ahead, Mick.
I do. actually, it's a request for clarification. Mayor, would you be kindly, or could you kindly describe in a little more detail the thinking that went into the discussion that went into the Point Doom combined SMR-SMCA? I'm sorry. Yes, please, the Point Doom SMR. SMCA, I got it wrong twice. My own group. There were some trade-offs here that I don't think were fully clarified that were very difficult relative to conservation and impacts that I think it would be helpful to share with the group.
All right.
And if you could let us know what is allowed in that SMCA, too, I think that would be helpful to the group.
Wow, it did it all by itself. Okay, so there are a lot of habitat replicates that are available in this general area. There's kind of a choice as to which side of the point you can actually pick up persistent kelp, for example. One of the deciding factors for us in going west was that the persistent kelp that was available on the east offers much more opportunity to much wider variety of user groups and would be therefore much more costly. The bullseye, as far as the habitats go, is really put on Doom more than anywhere else because of the opportunity to grab that deep rock replicate, the 100-meter plus rock replicate that's available on the sides of the canyon. And although that habitat may be available in other areas throughout the bite, this is one of the few areas where we do have solid data that shows it. There was some fine detail thinking that went on right at Point Doom. We did not cover the point itself because we wanted to be able to allow access while protecting the habitats within the marine conservation area. We wanted to be able to allow access for the public off of the south end of Doom or the down coast end of Zuma Beach to be able to get to Point Doom and those areas around there. And it turns out that if you are, for example, a spear fisherman and you have game, you cannot bring it back through an area in which you are not allowed to harvest it. So we allowed that small path. So you'll see that our shape does not cover the very, very west tip adjacent to parking lots at Zuma Beach.
Great. Thanks very much. With your permission, I want to call on some people who were not in your work group and invite clarifying questions. And I'm going to go to Jen, Sarah, and Vinod, and then Scott. Jen.
Thanks. You guys just answered one of my questions. And the second was, can you tell me how large the SMR at Laguna is?
The one at Laguna is 9.06. So it barely. One of the issues there is we tried to make sure that we did not capture areas that were in where the outfalls were. There are buffers around the outfalls we were asked to stay away from. So in the interests of acknowledging that constituency's concern, we did our level best to not end up with our MPA proposals covering up those buffer areas. That was very, very challenging in this area. One of the opportunities that does not show in marine map is that on the southern side of that proposal, there is habitat that is absolutely critical to the local lobster fishermen of this area. And there are also a couple of shore access points there at Woods Cove, and they would be the only ones that would be left open with this shape there in that whole region for several miles that actually offered easy access. So we were constrained on both sides, and we struggled mightily to be able to come up with a shape that was minimum size or better and did not completely step on somebody else's deal.
Thanks very much. Sarah.
Thanks for that. My question also hinges, I guess, on the South Coast area. I'm wondering how you grappled with the issue of not having persistent kelp and going for max kelp at Laguna. And I don't know if you got it there. Our shape was different than that, and we grappled with catching it. So I'm imagining it may have been difficult for you to catch it there. And then how you deal with the gap between Doom and San Diego in terms of reaching your kelp habitat.
We did struggle with kelp, and we do have a considerable gap. The max, I'm not sure if we get maximum kelp in here right now as it stands, but I understand that we do. So we were able to get maximum kelp, and we were able to avoid some other areas that were down further from there that offer much greater opportunity to pick up kelp replicates, but are also much, much more costly. They were beyond what people thought they could live with.
Thanks. Good question. Vinod.
Thank you. Anyone's welcome to answer this, but if you could scroll up north a little bit towards the PV area, please. Well, Merritt, while that's going on, anyone can answer this, but what was your rationale behind those shapes? Because I think our group struggled quite a bit in that area. So this is an easy question. If you could let us know how you came up with that shape and what your thought process was when you came up with that. Thank you.
We were trying to treat the replication and connectivity goals as best we could. We managed to do it with this cluster for all but three replicates, which is somewhat amazing. Two of those habitats, though, are habitats that people are very, very interested in capturing. They would be the persistent kelp and then the 3,000 to 100 meter rock that's right up in here. It turned out that to capture these habitats, absolutely. To use a term that we used in room two quite a lot, it threw some people under the bus. It differentially and unfairly targeted Redondo Beach. It had huge impacts on the people that come out of Marina del Rey, and we couldn't do it. So we got as much habitat protection as we could without coming in and covering up this area, taking well over half of Redondo Beach's deal away from them. We did manage to get to preferred size, and we did so by stepping on LA Sanitary District's toes ever so slightly, and they sat in the back of the room, and they took it fairly well, actually, not too badly.
Artfully said. Scott Dunn, since Greg Helms graciously put down his card, you get the last question, then we'll hear from group one.
All right, thanks. Question, you mentioned providing access at Doom. We'll use that as a kind of a reference point. What have you guys done for the non-consumptive recreational user access for safe diving, snorkeling, waterborne wildlife viewing? Have you made any kind of reach towards that community? Well, for anywhere, but in particular, Point Doom.
What perspective are you speaking from? Are you talking about being able to have all users do it, or just those that would like to see areas that are unimpacted by fishing?
Exactly. So
the latter.
The latter. So I'm looking for a space that I'm reasonably sure fishing gear, fishing boats, fishing lines aren't going to be around while I'm going diving or snorkeling.
Well, in a lot of ways, especially if you look at the area of Laguna, it took care of itself. The area that ended up under protection actually had all the good access. And then with respect to this shape, I would like to say that is also pretty much the case. There's parking all along that Zuma Beach, all the way up and down, and the only opportunity for the consumptive user is only down at that very south end.
Thanks very much. I want to appreciate the excellent presentation and patience, so thank you very much. And we want to now turn to Work Group 1, which had perhaps the steepest driveway. Work Group 1 began yesterday, told that they would be divided into groups, three groups, and told to come up with a complete proposal by the end of the day. All three groups did, and that's how we began this morning, and you'll hear how they went from there.
Well, I don't know that it was really the most difficult group. I think in a lot of ways, everybody that was there was really trying their best to look out for, first, our charge, which was hitting the science, and then secondly, doing that in a way that we thought looked out for everyone's interests, and that usually involved some sort of compromise, which a compromise means everybody gives. So we had conception actually we pulled back a graticule, so we picked up our habitats there, although conception's not necessary in spacing guidelines we were given. There are some deep water habitats there that create that you need to capture to create connectivity as we go south. So,
and part of the reason that we took a portion off of Point Conception off was a trade-off that we made in order to keep Naples on the map. That's that SMCA allows for mechanical kelp harvest and for spearfishing. And in addition to taking a mile off the eastern boundary of Point Conception, we removed Refugio from the map. And that was a trade-off and a recognition of conservation interests and community interests in seeing something at Naples.
And so that nobody gets misinformed, we're not done, by the way. We got through our backbone. Isla Vista was next, and Isla Vista is one of those shapes where we, quite a while ago, came into the bay and we hooked the eastern corner to, there's a cliff in a place called the Blowhole, so it's a obvious landmark that we could use. And Isla Vista also, well, we've all talked about it. So there's important habitats there for connectivity that we grabbed, and so.
And we decided to keep Devereaux Slough, Goleta Slough, and Carpinteria Slough, the salt marsh, all as SMRs. Sorry. Okay, moving south.
Well, this at Doom. Doom ends up being one of those places that every time we dealt with this shape, it was always a combination of Doom, Palos Verdes, and Farnsworth. So we always tried to we kind of negotiate back and forth, but ultimately, although for fishing interests, it was obvious that coming off of Little Doom was a place we would have preferred. There are people in the room that are very much interested in protecting some of those habitats inside Santa Monica Bay, and some of the modeling showed that capturing those contributed larvae into the bay. So that's one of those places that we tried to look for everybody's interests, and we are allowing squid fishing and pelagic seining in that blue area. And very importantly, like everybody who's probably not slept thinking over these things, that we captured that 100 to 3,000 deep water habitat there, which in order to create connectivity moving south is necessary to complete a map.
And you're about to see why we compromised at Doom. If I can drive this thing, I can't really see. So really, Bruce should be talking about this next sheet.
I'll do the next one, I should probably. Sometimes these things get names. That one's called Bruce's Dagger. So the dagger is one of those ones where we're having to maybe not necessarily get all the approval we would like from the authorities, but we thought that this shape actually captures every single habitat necessary except one. We're missing a soft bottom, which we actually capture at Doom and Laguna. So the two habitats that I'm sure everybody in the fishing or that's the wrong. I'm so confused with the numbers anymore. Anyhow, that Merritt talked about with the pain that this thing represents, but with obtaining the persistent kelp and then the 30 to 100 rock. That 30 to 100 rock is another one of those habitats that if you don't grab that habitat there, then you have extreme difficulty in reducing your gaps down. So that's why we did it. And also, since I am somewhat responsible for this thing, that the existing line that closes commercials out of Santa Monica Bay kind of divides that kelp bed there. So it's kind of a 50-50 split between commercial and recreational interests in that kelp there. And like everybody can see, we really only do have about 6/10 of a mile of actual contact with land. So I really want to thank that the other side for looking at this thing as a compromise.
Okay, we'll move south. So next was Laguna, and we really focused on the backbone here. I don't think we've yet completed the intertidal areas on the north and south, but one of the goals here was to make sure that we captured the maximum kelp, since you can't get persistent kelp here, and it was important to us that we meet spacing between here and Palos Verdes, and then also this had implications for what we did in San Diego. So I think we might have missed some of the scarce habitats that you can't get here, but I think this captures just about everything else.
And I'm kind of going to get out on a place that we haven't really come to agreement yet. But as we go south from here, because we picked up maximum kelp there, it gave us the ability then to go down to Point Loma and keep our spacing gaps intact. So the next place we don't have total agreement on this, but we think we have an idea what to do at picking up the very south end of Solana Beach and some deep water habitat. So the deep water habitat connects up to Doom, and then the 30-meter connects down to Point Point Loma, and I'll let Jen talk about
I just want to clarify that that giant red shape is actually two shapes on top of one another.
Sorry.
we are not done with San Diego. We spent about 3 hours doing all sorts of different facilitated exercises to try to 1 hour doing facilitated exercises to try to break our stalemate. And Dave and I, over wine at dinner, I think we might have found something, but we need to run it past the group. But our challenge in San Diego was trying to recognize the value in everybody's eyes of something at La Jolla, and then making a decision about what type of MPA we're going to put in North County. And so we're still working that out. We'll get back to you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, so like Jen says, that shape's not really what we're looking at, except for the Point Loma shape, which I think is. And then as we go out to the islands, well, the Loma shape is you would recognize it.
The Loma shape is the same shape that you saw in work group two.
And so that captures the 30 to 100, which keeps all of our gaps down to, I think, our max gap, somewhere around 110 miles.
Okay, so we're going to go to Catalina.
That thing's a little messed up because there's that same little blue dagger on the pier. Catalina, on the front side, we have the minimum closure that goes out above minimum. So our backbone's the front and back. And I guess I'll do those two and you do Long Point. And then so the Farnsworth allows seining. And I'm sorry, I actually at dinner, I couldn't remember how we decided on this, whether we actually included spearfishing or not. So maybe somebody could fill me in on that.
I think we did not include spearfishing.
So we may still have, we do have some more work to do tomorrow, folks. I have to apologize. We aren't done with everything, but let Jen do Long Point.
We did pretty well. The last, did you talk about Blue Cavern already? Yeah. So the last piece here is goal three MPA at Long Point. And we were really focusing on, there's a black sea bass aggregation that happens there at Long Point. And so we were trying to recognize that area and the value of it for non-consumptive diving.
And I think that's our final card that Eric was putting up there, which means we're supposed to be done. We have a couple seconds.
It said 2 minutes, so you can wrap.
I think that I would like to talk about the deep water rock. The deep water rock is one of those places where we tried to hit it. We tried just like the other groups have tried to do it, and I think anybody's looked at the habitats. I think there's a total of 6.04 miles in the entire study region, including the Channel Islands, and our map's up to about 1.84. So we're approaching, maybe not quite a third, but approaching a third. And if we went after that habitat, we just thought that it was just one of those things where the cost was something in excess of $500,000 a year for just commercials, and not including what it did to the Marlin Club and everybody else. And we weren't willing to close the entire thing like another group did. And it's just one of those places where I just thought that we had done what we could do. So I don't know how long we have to make apologies for the places we missed, but we tried to do everything we could, and that's just one of them where we just couldn't do it.
I just want to say thanks to everyone in our work group. We worked really, really hard today. I think we're all really tired, but I think we can feel pretty good or all equally miserable about what we did today.
Yeah, I think you guys did a great job. Thanks very much for presenting. Terry.
Yes, just a quick question on the Point Doom shape and your Farnsworth when you're blue, why you wouldn't consider using all of the exemptions for a high level of protection for pelagic fish, including spear fishing?
I don't know where you are, Terry. I can hear you, but I can't see you. But so you're talking about why did we not make that whole thing blue?
No, why we didn't include
when
some
it's
of the
blue,
spear fishing.
Why,
oh, why don't we include spear fishing?
It, you know, like I said, we're not completely done. When we went to dinner, we had moved through the, some of the shapes, Terry, and I think some places maybe we made a couple mistakes, and maybe we can think about it. Well,
Terry,
maybe that's the wrong word, but I think really, you know, we have to make sure that everybody has... Yeah. has a place in this thing, and if we've missed spearfishing completely in the map, maybe there's something we really need to look at again. I think we do, you know, and so I'm not sure.
Thanks, Bruce.
Joel.
I want to thank you guys for an honest articulation of where you did not arrive at decisions. Quick question. What's the square miles of your Palos Verdes piece?
At the 17.25.
Thank you.
Okay, I see some cards of people who are not in my group, so I'm going to actually call on the people who are not in group one to ask questions. So I have Joel Greenberg, who spoke, John Bellotti. I'm going to skip Chugi and Lauren. I see Bob Fletcher. Anyone else? Norris. Okay. And Kevin. Okay. John.
On Catalina, I think I see. My eyes are tired. Is there a small SMR along the coast on the backside of Catalina that you're proposing?
Yes. It's Mary is reminding me. That's still under discussion, but yeah, you do see something. You're talking about this, John?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that was...
You didn't mention it.
That, I believe, probably looks familiar to you. It's, I think, a remnant of topaz and was put in place to protect eelgrass, but we have not yet finalized those smaller shapes on Catalina.
Okay, thanks very much. Bob Fletcher.
Yeah, I didn't see what you did at Clemente or San Nick, and I also was... I wasn't aware of you identifying La Jolla Cove, the existing reserve there, or conservation area. And finally, a comment. It appears to me that you've done irreparable damage to Mission Bay by closures on both sides of the entrance to Mission Bay.
I'm not sure that irreparable damage is a question. So what's the question in that?
The question is, had you considered the economic impact of closed areas on both sides of Mission Bay where those boats come out and have a limited time to go either north or south?
So, Bob, I'll answer your first question first. We didn't talk about Clemente or Nicholas, but I think we have an understanding. Well, my assumption is that we were going to deal with the two military areas that were provided on Clemente, and we were not going to be dealing with Alpha on Nicholas, but we were going to address Beg Rock. But we have not finalized that yet. And to your second question, I just want to reiterate, we are not done with San Diego, so I can't really address the impacts until we have final shapes. But I appreciate your comment, and we'll make sure we consider it.
I'd like to take that one. When we did our spacing and we came down taking part of Solana Beach and picking up some habitats there, deep water habitats, to get our connectivity up to Doom, our guidance, as we understood it from the SAT, was although it was maybe possible if you picked up every single habitat at Solana and really crush the heck out of Oceanside, that you might not have to go between there and the border, that we were leaving open the possibility that somebody make that decision for us. So what we've done in our group is try and pick up a habitat we couldn't get someplace else, and Point Loma. But part of that bargain, Bob, to try and not leave ourselves in the position for somebody else to make the decisions for us meant, again, that we had to compromise. And what we are going to do at Point Loma, I think, is going to be a blue and a red shape.
La Jolla,
a blue and a red shape. And I think we are going to allow a certain amount of sport fishing in part of one of them, but it's going to be part red and part blue. It's just, you know, it's meeting the SAC guidelines and meeting everybody halfway.
Thanks very much. Norris Tapp.
No, John Bellotti asked exactly what I was going to ask there. That reserve on the south end of Catalina.
Phil.
I suppose you heard me already. What was your rationale for extending the line at Goleta Bay all the way into the blowhole, relative to the public access and fish and game feasibility for, you know, long, narrow slivers like that and the like?
Well, we could fix it at the cliff. So it is something that's recognizable. That's sand beach that turns into a cliff, so it's something that's recognizable. And there again, Phil, like I explained earlier, there was there's another group that came straight off the point there, and yeah, you can pick up your habitats, but in our group, sometimes we did our habitats and then just went a little bit farther. And I don't know how to explain it any better than that, but a lot of times we did, but maybe we didn't go as far as some people would have.
Right. Thanks. Thanks very much. I'm going to take a couple more questions, and then I have yet another invitation for some additional effort, which I'll share with you. Merritt. Merritt or Kevin? Kevin, sorry.
I wanted to know from Bruce how committed you thought your group was to going east of Campus Point there, or if that was just something that you kind of inherited and hadn't discussed, or if you really had thought about it and really thought that you wanted to do it.
It actually was a bit of an artifact out of the original Topaz. So at one point that line had gone even a little farther east, and we moved it back to the blowhole.
Yeah.
But wow, the word commitment, there's a good one. Criminy, you know. It's not like we didn't fight over this stuff. It's just we didn't fight over a mile here and there. We were fighting over tenths. I don't know what to say. You know, it's every single one of these, we've gone back every single time we've ever met. We go back and forth and back and forth. And today, we actually went back to the blowhole when it used to be clear out to the parking lot, which is, you know, as you know, a few hundred feet.
Yeah, I would just say that there was a lot of give and take around almost every one of these decisions, and where this group wound up coincidentally was exactly where two of the subgroups wound up yesterday. So it's not as if this line was not debated extensively. I don't know if it's the end of the debate, but it was not just taken at face value. There was a lot of discussion about it, as there was with most of these. And I'm sure those of you in other groups can appreciate the difficulty of the struggles that this group had. Any other comments? Kevin.
Not really a question. And Jenny,
Jenny, can you listen? It was brought to my attention in our presentation that I forgot to mention Formosa Slough. And we've done something there that we think the other groups may want to replicate. So Jenny, would you briefly describe all the benefits of Formosa Slough being included?
I'd be happy to, Kevin. We did take a look at Formosa Slough. In fact, it was Tommy's idea initially. As we started looking more and more into it, we got quite a bit of information. There is an organization called the Friends of Formosa Slough. It is owned and managed by the City of San Diego. It's been a cleanup site. I don't mean CERCLA cleanup, but just sort of a trash pickup site. It's now part of the Pacific Flyway. It supports literally hundreds of different kinds of shorebirds, raptors, migratory birds, spawning area, nursery area. It's used extensively for education and research purposes. There are three elementary schools that surround it, and it is just off the San Diego River, Tommy, if I'm saying that correctly. So we were quite excited as we looked more and more into the Formosa Slough area. So it is one of the sloughs we've designated.
Great. Thank you very much, Jenny. So, Kevin and Jeff, you done? That was it? Okay. Jeff.
I like that lobby.
Yeah. Jen, you mentioned that you still had some work to do, and I think we all probably do. It'd be nice to have an extra day or two or three. But in the context of still having to do some work, I was wondering if you have any new arrays that you're thinking of, or are you just going to tighten up borders for small expansions? What context is that in?
That's a great question. I think the majority of the work that we need to do is we need to make some final decisions about San Diego, and then we really need to go back and clean up all of the smaller existing MPAs and the remnants that are left on the map, like you saw at Catalina and Laguna. So otherwise, I think we're doing pretty well. We might want to revisit Terry's comment about, you know, allowing for spearfishing in some of our SMCAs, but I think we made some hard decisions today, and I hope that they stick.
And we also have some important work to do around co-management and cultural issues, and Roberta has some important ideas to put on the table there. So I know Lauren and Chugi had their cards up. Lauren, do you still have a question or a comment?
Not a question, just a comment, because I noticed something that Bruce said, just a correction on the historic group at Avalon. It's actually the Avalon Tuna Club, the Marlin Club, Bruce. The group's called the Avalon Tuna Club. The Marlin Club is a bar, but I'm sure the bar attendees really appreciate your protection, so thank you.
Right. But that could be part of the array, too, right?
Yeah. I'd be more likely be a member there.
Okay, all right. Okay, Chugi, did you have a final comment? Pass, okay. You know, Melissa never is wanting for creating more opportunities for the RSG, and while many of you have homework to do now, at 7 o'clock this morning, tomorrow morning, there will be the opportunity for those of you who want to be present to explain to members of the public the maps, the interim maps, the not yet final maps, that will be displayed. So if any of you are so moved to help brief your fellow stakeholders on the interim, the draft final maps, you can do that. And again, just a reminder, all of the maps that we saw tonight are draft final. There is still more work to do tomorrow. So Kelly, do you have a final word of wisdom?
Fine. Got it. Thanks. If you could come and see me, I know 7 a.m. is really early, but we want to be sure that the public understands what they're looking at when they're looking at these three maps being projected. If I could at least, even on shifts, have one person from each group, I'd be so grateful. If you could come and see me so that I know who I would be missing, that would be really helpful. So if you are so inspired to be up at 7, I would be very, very grateful. Okay. Just one more plea. Thank you.
Great. And we did give you public comment, or rather comment forms, to comment on each of the three draft final proposals. And Mary Gleason is now collecting them. So please give them to her. And the idea is that we will copy these and give each RSG member a set tomorrow. Becky has some final words.
I just wanted to thank everyone for your hard work on this long day, and also the official plenary meeting starts tomorrow at 8 a.m. So some of you I know will be coming early to assist the public with review of the maps, but the plenary meeting will start at 8 tomorrow.
And I just have one more word as well. I want to commend everybody's efforts over the past couple of days. I think your work has been outstanding. You have had the opportunity to present your draft proposals where they stand tonight. You have tomorrow to finish them off, and I really encourage all of you to there were some excellent questions tonight, to take these into consideration, to read these feedback forms you're going to get, and use this additional information as well as the public comment tomorrow to help make your the best final proposals that you can.
Okay, so with that, thank you very much. We're adjourned for this evening. We'll reconvene at 8 a.m. tomorrow.